tonight. We'll be in Genesis chapter number 1 for the last time tonight. And I said it a few weeks ago. Max just might be right. At the pace we're going now, we'll finish in 4.5 years. So y'all be patient. But we'll get started with Genesis chapter number 1 tonight. And we'll finish through verse 31. And then next week we'll move on to chapter number 2. I just wanted to get a good foundation for the Bible and for what God has done and how His creative power has done all these things so that we might know what He's done for us and what He's done and the foundation that He's laid. So last time, of course, we went through day number 4 and day number 5. And we talked about how in day number 4 we went through extensively in that how God put lights in this firmament that we know as the sun, the moon, and the stars. And then in day number 5, we kind of went quickly through it, so I'll review it just a little bit. Starting on the 5th day in verse number 20, He says, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life." You'll remember last time I mentioned that in verse 20 was the first time the word life or living is mentioned, because that's day number 5 is when God created these living creatures that has life. And not only did He create these sea creatures and place them in the sea, but He also created the birds and He placed them, the Bible says, in the open firmament of heaven and up in the sky. And then in verse 22 it says, God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply." And then verse 23 says, "The evening and the morning were the 5th day." So now we're going to get into day number 6 and we'll read through the rest of the chapter tonight and we'll see what the Lord has for us here. Now in verse number 24 we'll start tonight. And the 6th day starts, I said, the same way that every other day starts in the Bible, with those three words. And God said. And He said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good." And that's where we'll stop just for right now. We'll read the rest here in a minute. So starting out here in day number 6, of course, you've already got living creatures in the sky that we know as birds. You've got living creatures down in the sea that we know as whales, as fish, and as all these stuff. Now we come to day number 6, and God creates these land animals. And you've got three types of animals here. He says cattle, creeping thing, and the beast of the earth. And I want you to notice in verse 24 and verse 25, it says four times that they brought forth after their kind. And I want you to recognize that, because we'll get to that in a second when we get down to when God creates man. So here we've got God creating all these land animals that He made. And I won't get much into that because we've got a lot to say about man. But in verse 25, I want you to see that God saw that it was good. In other words, God looked at these animals and said, they're good. Also meaning they don't have to evolve into anything else. The way I made them is the way they're good right now. They don't have to be made into something else. They don't have to evolve into something else. But the way I made them, they're good right as they are. So, let's go ahead into the creation of man starting here in verse number 26. And this is God's whole point for chapter number 1. Verse 26 says, "And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. And what's those next three words? Y'all say them for me. Male and female created He them. "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So here we come to day number 6, and God finally gets to the whole point of His creation. If God would have stopped here after the land animals, there would be absolutely no point for chapter number 1. There'd be no point for planet earth. And you notice that God waits until the very end of His creation to make man. He makes absolutely nothing after He created man. God didn't make man on day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, or day 5. He waited until day 6 to make man. You say, why is that? Because God wanted everything to be absolutely perfect and set up for man. And you know, sometimes God does the exact same thing in our lives too. Sometimes you want a new job, but God just has to, He makes you wait a little bit so He can set it up perfectly. Sometimes you want to go into a new place, but God makes you wait a little bit so He can just get it set up perfectly for you in His timing. And this is what God does here in day number 6. He waits, He creates everything perfect. He's got the sea, He's got the land, He's got the light so they can look up and see. He's got all these things to serve man, and here He creates mankind. And I want you to see, as we get into day number 6 here, how God made man. And I want you to see, firstly, tonight, if I can get right into it, that God, number 1, created man special. That God created man special. Look at verse number 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image." Let us make man in our image. So you say, what's special about that? Well, everything else God created, I want you to listen to what He said. In verse number 3, God said, "Let there be light." Verse number 6, and God said, "Let there be a firmament." Verse 9, God said, "Let the waters under heaven be gathered together." Verse 14, "Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven." Verse 20, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly." Verse 24, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature." See, all He said was, "Let there be, let the earth bring forth, let the waters bring forth." But when He got to man, He didn't say, "Let there be." He said, "Let us. Let us do something about man." And we see God is here, He's having a conversation with somebody. And if you study your New Testament, you'll see exactly who He's talking to. God is not talking to the angels, for man is not made in the image of angels. And God's certainly not talking to the animals, because man is not made in the image of animals either. But you'll find here in verse number 26 that He says, "Let us." In other words, there's somebody beside Him that He's talking to. "Let us make man in our image." And we know who He's talking to, don't we? The Son and the Holy Spirit. So right here in day 6 of creation, God begins to have a conversation with the other two members of the Trinity that we know as the Son and the Holy Spirit. And this isn't the first time that the Trinity has a conversation with Himself, by the way. In Psalm 110 and verse number 1, David speaking, he says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." In other words, Jehovah said to His Son Jesus, "Sit down." And they start to have a conversation with Himself. And this is what is happening here in verse number 26. And they start to talk to each other, and they basically say this: "We're going to make man and put him on the earth so he might mirror who we are on planet earth." That's the whole concept of making man in His own image, that we might mirror who God is on planet earth. There is no other creature on the face of this planet that they can say they are made in the image of God, and that makes mankind very unique and very special in the eyes of God. And that's kind of getting away in our generation, and I'll get to that a little bit later. But mankind is created special, more unique than any other thing on the face of this earth, because they're made right here as the Trinity has a conversation. That's how important making man was. They didn't talk to each other when they were making the animals. They didn't talk to each other when they were making the sun, the moon, and the stars. When they decided to make man, they started to talk to each other and say, "We need somebody to mirror who we are on this planet that we created." And they made man. So firstly, I want you to see that man was created special. Secondly, I want you to see, of course, that man was created special because he was created in God's image. In God's image. Listen to verse number 11. When God creates these plants, the trees, and the grass, He says, "The herb yielded seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind." Then we get to the fifth day. He's creating these sea creatures and the birds. He says, "The waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind." Verse 24 and 25, we just read it. "God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and every living thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. But when he got to man, he did not say, I'm going to make man after their kind. They're not going to bring forth after their kind, but I'm going to make him after our kind, after our likeness, and after our image. And see, that makes man special, being created and made in the image of God. And in case we don't understand it, God told us four times that we're made in the image of God in two verses. Verse 26, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Likeness and image are basically the same word there in the Hebrew. So that's twice. Verse 27, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He them. That's four times in two verses, just in case anybody got it mixed up, to know that man is created in the image of God only. And that's very important. We didn't come from animals, and God wants to make that clear to us. God knew when Moses was writing this 4,000 years ago that people would come and say there's no way mankind came from the hand of God and say that he would come from animals. So God makes it clear here in these first two verses. We didn't come from all these things. We didn't come from nature. We didn't come from the water. We came forth from the very hand of Almighty God. Didn't come from cavemen. You didn't come from fish. You didn't come from animals. You came from the hand of your Creator. And He made it clear to us. And we're created in His special image. Now, I'll ask you tonight, because it's a question that I got asked a few years ago and I didn't know how to answer it, because it's something that's a little bit confusing, to be honest with you. The Bible says that we're created in God's image. What does that mean? What does that mean? To be made in the image of God. Now, if somebody were to walk up to me and say, you are the spitting image of your mom, what does that mean? That means I look exactly like her, doesn't it? Somebody were, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. If somebody were to walk up to you and say, you're a spitting image of your dad, of your mom, that means you look exactly like them on the outside. That means you look exactly like them probably in the face and physically. But when the Bible says we are made in the image of God, it means something a little bit different. Because we might assume that because we are made in God's image, when people look at us, this is what God looks like. But this is not what God looks like. So it's a little bit different. So I want to tell you tonight what it means to be made in the image of God. And in order to do that, we've got to see how man was created. So flip over probably a page and go to chapter 2 and verse number 7. So God has just got done with the seventh day. He rested from His work. And now beginning here in verse number 5, He kind of gives a summary, a recount of what He's already done. And in verse 7, it's a description of what He already did on day number 6. Alright, so this is what verse 7 says. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul or a living being. So when God decided that He was going to make man, this is awesome. God took a little bitty speck of dust off the earth and said, I'm going to make his body just like that. That's all I need to make man's body. One small piece of dust, and He made our heart, He made our kidneys, He made our liver, He made our limbs, He made our brain, He made our eyes, He made our mouth. He put everything in the perfect spot from a little piece of dust. And then a few thousand years later, He sent His Son to die for a bunch of dust. That's what God made you and I in. And the last time I checked, dust was about 5 cents. But that's how much God loves you and me. He made our bodies out of that. But I want you to notice, when He made our bodies out of the dust of the ground, that Adam didn't start living yet. Adam was just laying there. His body was just there, and he was not alive yet. But then your Bible says in verse number 7 that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and then man came alive. Then man became a living soul. So I want you to see here that when God breathed, that's when man came alive. That's when man got that soul on the inside of him that nobody can see. So I tell you tonight that because man is made up of these two parts. The material part that you can see when you look in the mirror, that I can see looking at you right now, But also, God breathed that breath of life into you and He gave you that immaterial part, that invisible part, that part that nobody, no doctor, no x-ray, no CT scan can see. And it's called your soul. That's what God did. He took our body and we were just lying there. Adam was just there. But then He said, in order for you to live, I breathe the breath of life into you and you become a soul right there. So we're made up of this body right here that everybody can see. But also the reason we live is because we're made up of that immaterial, that invisible part called the soul that no man can see. Some of you have known, almost a year ago to this night, we woke up and realized that my grandpa had passed away. And I went up to his house because he lived three houses from me. You know, he was gone home to be with the Lord, but his body was still there. He was dead and gone, but his body's still there. You know what happens when we die? That part that God has put into us called the soul, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You can still see your loved one's body lying there when they die, but can I tell you, you cannot see their soul get carried to heaven. That's what happens when we die. That part of us that's invisible, that no man can see, that God put on the inside of us when we die, it departs if we're saved to be with the Lord. And the best way I've always tried to explain it over the past 3 years that the Lord's called me, the best way that I've had to explain to me is imagine a balloon. If I'm holding up a balloon right here that has no air in it, but then I take it and I breathe my breath into it, what's going to happen? It's going to expand, isn't it? What happens if I look on the inside of that balloon when it's expanded? Am I going to see my breath? Am I going to see the air that's holding it? No. That's the same way our human body is. There's a soul living on the inside of us that you can't see, but it's making us live. Because if it's not there, James says, to be without the Spirit, your body is dead. If you don't have a soul, if you don't have a spirit, you're dead. So, it's the soul that really brings life to us. This is just our tent, as the Bible tells you. This is just our covering. The real us is our soul. The real us is on the inside of us that nobody can see. It's where your will is. It's where your emotions are that sometimes we can't control. It's where your personality is. It's where all these things are. We'll get to that. But I tell you all that and tell you this. Man is made up of the material, as you can see. Man is also made up of the immaterial, that's invisible, as you can't see. Therefore, God said He made us in His image. So what part is in the image of God? It's interesting. Which part of us did God make in His image? The material or the immaterial? Well, the Bible says this in John chapter 4. I think I put it up there. Everybody knows that verse. Jesus speaking to the woman at the well. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, right? Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 24. He looks at him after he had resurrected and he says, look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. So God is a spirit. And Jesus just said, a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me have. So this may surprise some of us, but God does not have a body. God is a spirit, although one day He took up a body in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, therefore, if we are made in the image of God and God does not have a body but He is a spirit, it's that invisible part of us that's been made in the image of God, isn't it? It's that soul. It's that part that no man can see that's been made in the image of God. If our bodies were made in the image of God, that might mean that some animals could also be in the image of God, because God made some animals out of the dust of the ground too, if you'll read it. He made our bodies the same way. But He breathed into us that breath of life and we have that soul that nobody else does. This is what Matthew Henry said, one of my favorite people to study. He says, it's the soul of man that bears the image of God. The soul is a spirit, an intelligent spirit, an immortal spirit, an influencing spirit, and herein it resembles God. Now let me give you an example just in case it's a little bit confusing. Let me give you the Jesus example. Paul's speaking to the church in Colossae. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, he says this. He speaks of Christ. And he says, who is the image of God? Paul says Jesus Christ is the image of God. Now let me tell you what that doesn't mean. That when Jesus was walking around Judea, that when Jesus was walking around Galilee, when He was walking around Capernaum, when He walked by, people did not look at Him and say, He looks just like God. Because Jesus looked exactly like every other Jew in Jerusalem. That's why people didn't believe that He was the Messiah. Because He looked exactly like everybody else. So when Paul says He's in the image of God, Paul doesn't look at Him and say, you can look at Jesus and tell He's God by His outward appearance, by His body. He is saying that inward part of the bodily Jesus Christ is in the image, the perfect image of God. Because He's holy, He's just, He's perfect, He's sinless, He's true, and He's eternal. All these things, that's what's in the image of God, of Jesus Christ. Not His body, but His Spirit that lives on the inside of Him. And that's what you and I are made in the image of God as. That invisible part of us, that soul that lives on the inside of us. This is what John MacArthur said, probably my favorite one to study. He said, it's true that as a human being, I resemble the creatures in my physical bodily form. I'm made up of flesh. I'm made up of the same components. I'm made up of the same atomic material, the same raw elements. But what made me distinct from everything else is my invisible part. It's the part that you can't find in my DNA. It's the part that's not in the chromosomes. It's that invisible self, the true person that makes me like God. That's why evolution is impossible. Because you cannot become in the image of God over thousands of years. It's impossible. You're either made in the image of God or you're not. It's our soul and our spirit that makes us distinct and different from everybody else. And he said, it's that person that makes me like God. Well, how is that invisible part of us like God? So I want to show you here just for the next few minutes, what is that? How are we like God? Number one, we're moral beings. We're moral. Which means we have the ability to know right from wrong. Everybody in here know right from wrong? Sometimes we do wrong a lot, but we still know right from wrong. That's because God's put that conscience on the inside of us that gives us the ability to know right from wrong. But how many of you know sometimes you can't trust that old conscience because it's been marred by sin? Sometimes it leads us astray. That's why we need the Spirit of God to lead us in the right way. But the Bible will tell you in Romans chapter number 2, I don't have time to get into this, that every single person on the face of this planet has that conscience and realizes they are in the image of God, and they have to completely deny it to say there's no God. Now, we don't have time to get into that. Moral beings. Number two, we're intellectual beings. We have the ability to make decisions. We have a will. We have reason. Now, you say, well, my dog can make decisions. He can. Our dog made this decision to eat dinner tonight, to drink her water, to go outside and use the bathroom. Sometimes the kids stay on inside and use the bathroom. But you see, dogs and animals are different than us. Yeah, they make decisions, but they don't know why they make the decisions. Animals just operate off of instinct. We operate off of reason. Sometimes pretty bad reason. But we still are different than that. We're intellectual in that we have the ability to make decisions and we have a will. We have the right to choose. We're also not only moral, intellectual, but we're personal beings. And that's the most important one. Personal beings. And that means the ability to relate to other people and have a relationship with other people. But most of all, the ability to have a relationship with our Creator. Because no other person, no other creature, no other thing on the face of this planet has the ability to have a relationship with their Creator like we do. Being able to obey Him, to love Him, to worship Him. And God made us that way. Because He is also a personal God. He is also a God of relationship, of fellowship. You know, there's never been a time where the Father has been without His Son. From all of eternity past, the Father was with His Son until He left heaven, came down to earth. See, our God is a God of relationship, and the reason He created man personal and a man of relationship is because He wanted us to experience the same thing He experiences too. That we might have a relationship with other people, but most of all, that we might have a relationship with Him. And that's what makes us like God. But not only personal beings, I don't know if I put this one up here. I did. Moral beings, intellectual beings, personal beings, but our language. There are 5,000 known languages on planet Earth. And this is something that every scientist hadn't figured out yet. How in the world language evolved into what it is. Some of them will tell you they started out with a grunt. Some of us men still grunt, don't we? Some of them scientists need to keep on grunting. Nobody knows what language Adam spoke in the garden. We don't need to. But in order to be personal beings, what do we need to have? Communication. And we communicate by the way that we talk. We even talk to God through our language. And that's something that God has given us as a gift. So, here's the conclusion and I'll move on. Being in the image of God means that inside, invisible part of us that's called the soul has been formed into His likeness in that we are moral, intellectual, and personal beings with Him. If you want to write that down, I'll leave it up there. But here's the question that gets raised. I know that Adam was made in the image of God. I don't think there's any debate in that. What about after he sinned? They had kids. Sin entered in. The fall happened. Is everybody else made in the image of God after that? And I will say yes. Everybody in here, every human being, is made in the image of God. Although it's been marred by sin, we're still in the image of God in a form. One man said, our image has been defaced by sin, but not erased by sin. Genesis chapter 9 will tell you that we're still in the image of God after the fall. And even James, the first book written in the New Testament, will tell us we're in the image of God too. And you know, one man said this. He said, and this honor that we are in the image of God is a good reason why we shouldn't speak ill of one another. Because everybody in here is in the image of God, so we shouldn't speak bad about one another. But also, not do ill or do bad to one another. Listen to what Genesis chapter 9 said. Whosoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he him. And that's why what's going on in America today, the word called abortion, is absolutely an abomination in the eyes of God. You see, because all human beings, not when they're born, not when they're birthed, not when they come out of their mother's womb, but when they are conceived, God gives that little baby, the invisible, the immortal, the soul that we just talked about today. It's not when the child is birthed that they are in the image of God. It's when the child is conceived that they are in the image of God. And what's happening today, with all these things going on, abortion, 1,000, at least 1 million babies getting killed week by week. And you know why? Because we're a culture doesn't know the image of God anymore. We're a culture that I would dare say that 95% of those doctors that do the abortions believe in evolution. Because you want to know why? Because when they do it, they think they're killing nothing than a man that evolved from an animal. Who cares? That baby's not special. That baby's not in the image of God. That baby's just something that evolved from a monkey. So it's no worse than putting down an animal in the shelter. That's exactly what's happening. But can I say every child that's conceived, not birthed, but conceived in his mother's womb, right then is made in the image of God. Right then. And that's why, people may not like this, but that's why America has been turned into Sodom and Gomorrah. All you got to do is look around, go to Walmart and Lincoln. I'm not being judgmental, I'm just saying. I told her the other day, just sit there and watch. It is amazing how America is still standing. And the only reason is because of the grace and mercy of our God. He keeps on giving chance after chance after chance after chance. There's coming a day where He's not going to put up with it anymore. Jesus is going to come back. But that's why abortion is an abomination to God. Because when you kill that little baby that's in his mother's womb, you're killing somebody that's made in the image of God, that's special, that's unique, that's fearfully and wonderfully made. And it's sickening in the eyes of God. I believe it with all my heart. And it's sickening to me. Man was created in the image of God. Man was created special. But I also want you to see tonight, and I'll move a little bit quicker as we go, man was created to have dominion. Man was created to have dominion or to rule over the things that God created. Look at chapter 1 and verse number 26. It says, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion," or let them rule, "over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." And he said it again in verse 28. He says, "And have dominion over the fish, over the fowl, and over every living thing." God looked at man and said, "You are going to have dominion over every living thing." Notice, God didn't give man dominion over the stars, did he? Have no control over that. He didn't give them dominion over the sea that he made. He didn't give them dominion over all these things. He said, "Over everything that has life, though, you have dominion over these things." And you know, it was a cool thing to study that in the Garden of Eden, the animals and man walked together in perfect harmony. If you were to go to Africa, you could not walk together close with a lion, or you'd be lion's food in the next few seconds. But in the Garden of Eden, as God created all these animals and then created man, they walked together in perfect harmony. Now Isaiah will tell you there's coming another day where that's going to happen again. Christ comes back to rule on this earth for 1,000 years, and he says the lion's going to lie down with the lamb. He says the baby will be able to stick his hand into a snake's nest and not get bit. Praise God for that. Because I hate them. But it says that man was to have dominion and leadership over these things. And all that, basically what that means is man was to be God's representative on planet earth. God needed somebody to rule. God needed somebody to have dominion. God needed somebody to be there to take over the leadership, the ruling, and the dominion over these things. And He made man to do just that. You know, a lot of us tonight have a purse, a wallet, a shirt on. And if you were to pull out the tag of it, it would probably say this: "Made in China." More than likely. "Made in Japan," or sometimes "Made in America." And you know what that's trying to do is, that tag reflects where that product came from, so the world can see that that product represents its maker. You know, if you will, sometimes me and you as Christians, we bear the tag that says "Made in the image of God." And what we're to do is have people look at us and say they're bearing the image of their Creator. They're looking like the one who created them. And that's what God has called us to do. Verse 27, I want you to look at this. We'll move right on. Man was created to have dominion. Verse 27. "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them." Can you imagine in 2019 we're having to have this conversation? Male and female created He them. God didn't say, "I'll make you gender neutral and you can pick." What is happening? They won't put me on the radio. Male and female created He them. Why? Because the next verse will tell you. "Be fruitful and multiply." Can a man and a man be fruitful and multiply? No. Can a woman and a woman be fruitful and multiply? No. And everybody knows how it happens. Man and a woman get together and they multiply and they replenish the earth. Male and female created He them. There's a difference. All of us men know there's a difference between man and woman. And all you women know there's a difference between man and woman. We might act like we're not more sensitive, but sometimes we are. Y'all may talk more. You may spend more money. And see, we're different. And God made us that way, to be different. Because if I was marrying another Justin, I'd kill him. And if she was marrying another Monica, she said she'd already got rid of her. Male and female created He them. Man was created to have dominion. Man was created to populate the earth. These people will go on the news and say that they're worried about the overpopulation of the earth. Well, God's not. God said, be fruitful and multiply. Worry about overpopulating the earth. May not be there much longer anyway. So be fruitful and multiply. Now, you've probably heard this before, but I'll go ahead and throw this in. Look at verse 29. I'm almost done. Excuse me. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, or that's better translated, to you it shall be for food. He said, so he says, I've given you every herb and I've given you every tree. Now, before the flood, man was a vegetarian. Before the flood, this is what man ate. But in Genesis chapter number 9, verse number 6, when Noah and his three sons get off of the ark, Noah looks at him, or God looks at Noah in verse number 3 of chapter 9, and says, every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you. He told Adam, these trees and these herbs, they shall be food for you. But then when Noah got off the ark, he says, every moving and every living thing shall be food for you. And I say, praise God for that. Because I couldn't deal with eating salad the rest of my life. I like chicken and I like steak. So praise God. Thank you, Lord, for giving us every living thing to eat. Man was created to populate the earth. He was created to have dominion. He was created in God's image, and man was also created special. And lastly, and I'll be done, I want you to see in verse 31 that man was made on the sixth day. Man was created on the sixth day. Look at what verse 31 says. And God saw everything that He had made. Got a pen, underline everything. Everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Every other day, except day two, of course, as you remember, He looked at it and said, that's good. That's not arrogant, that's just God. But when day six comes along, He looks at man and He says, that's very good. Because He finally brought it all together in one perfect picture. He made all creation and He made it perfectly for mankind to dwell in. Him and His wife to replenish the earth. But I want you to see this. He said everything that He made was very good. Very good. And then it says the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Here's a reason why. I can tell you based on my Bible that these 6 days right here that God created everything wasn't 6 million years. Why God created all these things in 6 days and not millions and billions of years. But it was 6 literal days about 6,000, 7,000 years ago. And here's how I'll tell you that. Because some people may say that there's nothing wrong with believing in evolution and God. But you can't do both. There's no middle ground. So let me show you why God created everything in 6 literal days. Because this is where the idea of millions of years come from. Because it's the belief that these fossil layers that everybody's seen, and these fossil layers contain what? Dead things. Dead animals, dead dinosaurs, dead creatures, dead plants. And millions of years that people think that God created came from those fossil layers that were laid down millions of years before man ever showed up. That's what they'll tell you. These fossils, full of dead things, remember that, was laid down millions of years before the first man ever showed up. So in other words, things were dying before man ever got to planet Earth. And if you take that the Earth was here 1 million years before man ever showed up, then that means death, disease, and suffering in this world is God's fault, not man's fault. I'll tell you why. Because scientists say, as I just told you, that before man ever showed up, death was in the world. They won't deny it. They'll tell you before the first man ever showed up on planet Earth, stuff was dying. And if that's true, you better go home and throw out your Bible. Because if death showed up before Adam, that means God created it. You know what the Bible says? For as by one man, sin entered into the world, And what by sin? Death by sin. The only reason people die is because sin happened. And if death happened before sin happened, that meant God created it. And that meant when God looked at it in Genesis 1:31 and said, "That's very good," He looked at death and said, "That's very good." And you know what that means? We don't have a very good God. And that's exactly why. You can't be in the middle. You either believe what God said or what man said. And what man said was before Adam or whoever the first man ever was showed up, things were dying. Dinosaurs were dying. Plants were dying. Animals were dying. And if death happened before Adam sinned, then this Bible is wrong. And our lives are doomed. Because that means God created sin. That it was God's fault and not man's fault. And everything we know about God is thrown out the window. See how important that is? They'll tell you that death happened before the first man. Everybody all right? If you didn't get that, come talk to me. Because that's important. That's what they're teaching in high schools and middle schools today. And that's fine. They can teach it. But we either go with what man said or what God said. There's no in the middle. Either trust God or trust that one that's got the glasses down to here. And I'd rather trust God because He's been right every single time before. Man was special. Man was created in God's image. Man was created male and female. He was created to have dominion. He was created to populate the earth. And man was created on the sixth day. And next week I'll show you what the first home looked like in the Garden of Eden and how interesting it is for us. Father, we thank You tonight for Your Word and just what it means to us, God. We thank You for providing us Your Word, for providing us, God, a record of who You are, that we might know who You are, God, and tell other people about Your power, but most of all about the love that You have for us. You created man out of the dust of the ground, and You told Adam, "Dust you are, and to dust you'll return because of our sin." But God, I'm thankful that You sent Your Son to die for people like us, so that when our bodies go to the dust, our soul might live in heaven with You until our body gets resurrected and met back up with our soul one day. God, we thank You so much for the promise of Jesus Christ, for the promise of heaven. And we thank You for Your Word, Lord, in which we can stand on it as our firm foundation. Lord, we love You tonight. We thank You for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. It's good to see you tonight. Y'all be careful going home. We'll see you Sunday. We'll see. Yes, Saturday. You sweetheart.